Hi, this is Austin Anderson. I'm the lead pastor of Tekoa Church. Welcome to our podcast. Thank you for joining us today. Tekoa Church exists to see people connect to God, to find and live out their purpose. I hope this message inspires you, encourages you, and draws you closer to God.
So I have been coming to this church ever since it opened in this place a couple years ago. And the way that I came to this church was I was playing pickleball, and I've seen Pastor Austin often and Dan and others in this church, but I never knew that he was a pastor until September. He sent a text to all the pickleball players saying, "Hey, I'm opening up a church. If anybody's interested, please come." So that's when I first came to this church. I liked it. And then I brought my children here, and then they liked it. I said, okay, let's start going every week. And so that's what we've been doing, and we've been here ever since. And then Pastor Austin found out that I used to be a pastor as well. I've been a pastor for over 30 years. And then so he was going on vacation and said, "Hey, Elle, can you preach for me?" And I understood. You know, when you're on vacation, you don't want to be thinking about sermon preparation. Right? Because I used to do that. I was on vacation, and I had my laptop, and I was working on my sermon all the time. So I said, okay, I understand your situation, so I'll do it. Even though, you know, I enjoy just sitting here, listening to his messages, but then I understood why he needed the break. So that's why I'm here. Like I said, I've been a pastor for over 30 years, but then when the pandemic happened, no one came to church. So my position sort of disappeared. And so I had to reinvent myself. So I became a chaplain, and I'm currently working as a chaplain for hospice. You might not know what a hospice is. Hospice is a caring service that helps people who are diagnosed with an illness that only gives them about 6 months to live. So on the team, we have a doctor, a nurse, a home health aide, social worker, and a chaplain. So we go to the patient, wherever the patient is. If the patient is at their home, we go and visit them. If they're at a facility, we go visit them at the facility. So my job as a chaplain is to provide emotional and spiritual and mental support for that person. So this morning, let me ask you a question. Have you ever thought about death? I know this is a depressing thought. You know, we're all busy living, working, studying. So why would we ever think about death? But I want to point out to you that if you don't think about death or ignore death altogether, then we are forgetting the real reason why Jesus had to come to this earth. As I meet with patients every day, death is in front and center for each of them. They all know that they're going to die. And each of them react differently to their predicament. Some are in denial. They don't want to think that they're dying. So every time I visit them, they say, "Chaplain L, I'm doing everything to get better. I'm trying to find the specialist to treat my illness. I'm exercising. I'm trying to eat right." Right? So they're in denial. They don't want to think about the fact that they're dying. Others have accepted their fate. Some even say, as soon as I visit them, they said, a gentleman says, "Just drive me to the cemetery. I'm ready." Right? So they understand that they're about to die. But as I meet with these patients, I am faced with the same predicament. I'm going to die. I might not die within 6 months, but the truth is, I will die. Death is part of my life. And at my age, I have lived more than half of my life expectancy. One of the joys that I have when I meet with patients is when I come across another believer. The sad thing is, as a chaplain, I'm not able to witness to people. I'm not able to share my faith with them. Even though I know that what they need is Jesus, but unless they ask me for my opinion, my point of view, I'm not able to share. But if they do share that they're Christians, then my go-to Bible verse is John 3:16. Some Christians are so ready to meet Jesus that they bless me with their faith. They're always talking about Jesus and blessing me with their faith. Some, because of their illness, are self-focused. They're focused inward, and they're not thinking about God. So when I come in and share this verse with them, there's a light bulb that goes up into their in their mind, and there comes a peace and calm about them. So today, I want to share with you this verse, John 3:16. It's a verse probably all of you probably have memorized when you were young, but I want to unpack it for us today. So the verse says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Wow, what a promise. Now, the verse says, "For God." Have you ever thought about who this God is? So today I want to give you three aspects of this God, or this characteristics of God. First is that God is omnipotent. It's a fancy word for saying that he's all-powerful. If you ever thought about it, he has created this world by the just speaking the word. It's amazing. He created this earth and even the whole universe. And his creation, guess what is happening? They're praising him. They're declaring his glory. I want to read for you Psalm 148. And just, if you have your Bibles, you could turn there. But if you don't, you could just listen. And just listen to what the creation is supposed to be doing. And some of the created things that are praising God. Psalm 148. "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. And he established them forever and ever. He gave a decree, and it shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and mist, stormy wind fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, beasts and all livestock, creeping things and flying birds, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and maidens together, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His majesty is above earth and heaven." Did you hear that? Did you hear what's supposed to be praising God? It is all of God's creation. Even the stars are praising God. You know, we have placed a telescope up in space, James Webb telescope, and we're able to see this awesome images of all the stars and galaxies and solar systems. And the Bible says that even those things are praising God. But us who are blind by our not knowing God, what are we doing? We're searching for other life forms. But the Bible says that these created things are pointing to the existence of God. And we should be acknowledging and praising our Creator. Other examples of God's power in the Bible is, one good example is the Israelites as they were coming out of Egypt. Pharaoh, one last time, changes his mind. He says, "Guess what? I want those people back." So he sends his army out to get them back. And so as the Israelites were walking, they saw the army coming, but then in front of them was the Red Sea. So they were between a hard and a rock, right? Hard place and a rock. And they didn't know what to do. And God shows us his power. It says in the Bible that he split the Red Sea, and they walked across the Red Sea on dry ground. Another example in the New Testament, same thing with the sea. The disciples were on the boat, and you know, these weren't guys that got on the boat for the first time, they were fishermen. So they're used to the boat rocking back and forth. But the storm must have been severe because they were afraid for their life. And Jesus was also in the boat sleeping. And so they go to Jesus and says, Jesus, don't you care that we're about to die? And so Jesus wakes up, looks at the storm, and you know what he says? He says, be still. And the storm is gone. The waters are calm. Know that our God is all-powerful. He's omnipotent. Second aspects of God that we need to know about God is that he's omniscient, which means that he's all-knowing. He knows everything. The Bible says that he knows the number of hair on your head. That's amazing. And he has determined the number of stars in the universe. And guess what he did? He named them all. Just think about that. As we look up into the sky and we see all the stars in a dark night, or even through the telescope that we have up there, there are billions and billions of stars. And it says that God has named them all. And guess what? He knows everything about you, even the secrets that you don't want anybody else to know, because he's omniscient. There are aspects of God that we need to understand that is he's omnipresent, which is that he's everywhere. I remember after graduating from high school, I received a full scholarship from the Air Force. And I was afraid of deciding to whether to accept it or not. Because one of the things that I knew about military, I didn't know too much, but one of the things I knew was that when you go in there, they could send you anywhere. And so I was like, worried, what if they send me to a deserted island and I'm there all by myself? Obviously, now I know that they wouldn't do that, but that was what I was thinking in my mind, that they could send me anywhere, you know, somewhere, outskirts of Alaska somewhere, and I'll be all by myself, right? So I was a kid, and that's the things that were coming into my mind. But then I came across this verse in Psalm 139 that says that God is everywhere. Let me read it for you. It starts from verse 7. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. So when I read that, that comforted me that no matter where I'm going to go, no matter where I am, God is there with me. And God is not only there when things are going well. He's there especially when things are not going well. I remember Pastor Austin preaching about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It's one of my favorite stories in the Bible of God's provision in our lives. The story goes, King Nebuchadnezzar, because he was very prideful, someone suggested, hey, you're so great. You should make a statue of yourself and have everybody bow down to you. He's like, oh, I like that idea. So he made a big image of himself, and he said, the law was every time the trumpet blew, everybody had to stop what they're doing and had to bow down towards the statue. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were Israelites. They followed the Ten Commandments, where it says, you shall have no other gods before me. So they refused to bow down to this image. And there were enemies that were watching them. And when they realized that they weren't doing it, they reported back to the king. And king was so angry, and so he brought those three men to him and says, hey, I'm going to give you one last chance. If you bow down to the statue when the trumpet blows, then you don't have to die. But if you don't, then see that furnace? I'm going to throw you into that furnace. And the three men said, O king, we only serve one God. And we know that if you're going to throw us into the furnace, God will save us. But I love this one thing that they said. Even if our God does not save us, we will still not bow down to your statue. And the king was so angry at their, you know, audacity. So he said, okay, throw in more logs and make that fire really hot. You know how hot it was? When the guards went near the furnace, they died. But then they threw the three men in, and the king looked at into the furnace, and he looked, and there were four people walking in that furnace. And the king's like, hey, didn't we just throw in three people? I see a fourth man. And he calls him out, and they come out, and they were unburned. Even their clothes was not singed. And that is an amazing story of our God. He is everywhere, even in that furnace. And many of the theologians said that the fourth person was Jesus, who came to be with them. Let me read a poem to you, showing us that God is always present with us. It's called The Footprints in the Sand. You might have read it before or seen it. It says, one night I dreamed a dream as I was walking along the beach with my Lord. Across the dark sky flashed a scene from my life. For each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to me and one to my Lord. After the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand. I noticed that at many times along the path of my life, especially at the very lowest and the saddest times, there was only one set of footprints. This really troubled me. So I asked the Lord about it. Lord, you said once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I noticed that during the saddest and the most troublesome times of my life, there was only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed you the most, that you would leave me. He whispered, my precious, precious child, I love you and will never leave you. Never ever during your times of trial and suffering, when you saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. So let us understand that this God is omnipotent, is omniscient, and is omnipresent. In this verse, the next words are, it says that this God, for God so loved. Don't we hear that word love a lot? When we use the word love, it usually means that the person that we are saying it to or the thing that we are referring to has some sort of beneficial or benefit for us. We tell our parents, I love you. We say, I love you to our girlfriend or boyfriend or to our spouse. We say that because the way they make us feel. Our parents provide for us and takes care of us, so obviously we say to them, I love you. The boyfriend or girlfriend makes us feel special, so we say, I love you. But then we also say, I love to ice cream or to spring or summer or to the beach. You see, when we use the word love, the thing or person we love gives us some sort of benefit. But did you know that God's love is different? When it says that God so loved, there was no benefit that God received from loving the world. In actuality, the world deserved God's wrath because of the rebellion that has happened in this world. You and I have rebelled against God when we disobey him. And yet it says that God still love the world. God's love, you see, is not based on a condition where God needs to benefit from us. That's why God's love is unconditional. God loves you and me not because of somehow we obey him perfectly or somehow we please him in any way. Romans 5:8 says, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Did you hear that? It wasn't when we decided that we would obey God that Christ came. It wasn't when we didn't have any more sin that Christ came. It says while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So if you ever wonder, can God really love me? Can he really love me? Because you're afraid that if God really knew who you were deep inside. Not this facade that we create when we are in front of other people. But if he really knew you, then God couldn't really love me, could he? But we just learned that God is omniscient. God knows you better than you know yourself. And he says to you this morning that he loves you unconditionally. May you take comfort in that truth. Now, this love is not just words, but there's action to it. Are you the type of person who uses word casually, where you don't really mean it? You say it all the time, I love you. Or you say, ooh, I love ice cream, I love this or that. For me, words are not as important as action. If you say you love me, there needs to be some type of action behind it. If you say you love me and then you ignore me, then I won't believe what you said. If you say you love me and you mean it, then there has to be some sort of action behind those words. I don't know if you've ever heard of the book called Five Love Languages by Gary Chapman. The book explains that we feel loved and we express love in five different ways. The first is words of affirmation, right? You say kind words. I really appreciated Pastor Tim saying all those nice words to me this morning, right? Thank you. So those are words of affirmation where you build up that person with encouraging words. Second, love languages is acts of service, where you're wanting to do things, like cooking or fixing, doing things for them. Third is gifts. You love expressing love for that person by giving them gifts, and you feel love when someone gives you gifts. Fourth is quality time. You express your love by spending time one-on-one with that person. And then fifth is physical touch, where you like to hold hands and give hugs, that sort of thing. So we may have all five, but there is one or two that really resonate with you. So it's important to understand your love language and also to understand your spouse's or your friend's love language. So if you're married, for example, and the wife's love language is words of affirmation, but the husband is acts of service. So the husband, because he loves his wife, does all these things for her. Like he does all the chores, washes dishes, fixing all the things around the house for her, making sure her car is filled with gas, and so forth. He does that because he loves her. But then if he never says to her, you're so beautiful, or he doesn't say any words of affirmation to her, then all those actions doesn't mean anything to her. And vice versa. And the wife could be saying all the nice things about her husband, saying, I love you, you're so good. But then if she never cooks for him, then he won't feel loved. Okay, so this is why this is important. Well, mine is acts of service, so that's how I express my love for someone, but then that's how I receive love. So if I say I love you, then I'll do whatever that needs to be done to help you. So if you need gas in your car, I'll make sure you have gas. If you need, if there's something that needs to be fixed, and if I could fix it for you, then I'll do it. And if someone goes out of their way to do things for me and they say, I love you, then I truly believe them. In the same way, God not only says in this verse that he loves you, but he shows it by action. The Bible verse says that God sent his only son. Now, there are certain aspects to this that we need to realize. First, is the fact that God was willing to give up his most prized and precious person in his life, his only son. So did he send him into this world to rule the world? No. He sent him to be a substitute for you and to die on that cross. I'm not sure if you ever thought about it. If you had a son, would you sacrifice your son to save a stranger? Not just any stranger, would you send your son to die for your enemy? Because that's what we were before we knew Jesus. The Bible says that we were in enmity with God, meaning that we were his enemies. The second aspect that I want you to see is that Jesus, who was sent, came willingly. He was not a robot who just obeyed God. He made a decision to come. Yes, he was obedient to the Father, but he also made a decision to give of himself. Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8 says this: "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross." Jesus is also God, and yet the verse says, he humbled himself and laid down his life for you and me. Because my love language is acts of service, there is no greater act of service than another person giving up his life for me. God not only says to us, I love you, but then he shows it to us. So if you ever doubt and think that God doesn't love you, just look to the cross, because it is the symbol of his sacrifice. It is proof that he loves you and he gave up his life for you. And then lastly, this verse and this love has a promise. In this verse, God shows us that dying on the cross had a purpose. When you go back to the beginning of the Bible, I don't know if you've ever realized, but when he created Adam and Eve, he created them to live forever. They had eternal life. But death entered the world, the Bible says, through sin. And because of sin, we all die. So death is a consequence of sin. And God knew this, so he had a plan to save us. And throughout the Bible, God has been revealing his plan. He tells us that he will be sending a Redeemer, a Messiah, who will come to save us from certain death. And we know, now we could look through the history of the Bible, and we know that that Redeemer is Jesus. And he has restored God's original intent for us to live forever with him through our faith in Jesus. And that's the amazing thing. It's not that we have to do all these things in order to be saved. The Bible says, all you have to do is to believe in Jesus. So what is it about Jesus that we need to believe? That Jesus is God, and he died on the cross as your substitute. He paid the penalty of sin for you. So he took on the penalty by suffering and dying on the cross. But then in return, through our faith in him, he gives us what he deserves, which is eternal life. So you see, God doesn't just say to us, I love you, but he backs that statement up with action. And because of his love for us, he desires to spend eternity with you. Now, going back to the beginning of my sermon, I had asked you if you ever think about death. For many of us, we don't think about it because we think it's not going to happen for another 50 years or so, right? We're going to live a long time. But the truth is, death can come at any moment, especially when we look at the news each day. When we turn on the news, there's another shooting at a school or another gathering at a park. There are wars that are going on in this world, and people are dying every day. There are natural disasters that take lives in an instant. So the question to you today is, do you believe in this promise that you will have eternal life if you place your faith in Jesus? Do you believe that? And then the next question is, have you place your faith in Jesus? If you have not, then I'm going to lead you in a prayer. So let us all bow our heads at this moment. I want to tell you that God loves you, and He showed up by sending Jesus to die on the cross for you. If you have ever placed your faith in Jesus, or if you want to place your faith in Jesus, pray this prayer with me. Father, I want to thank you for loving me so much that you will send your only Son to die on the cross for my sins. I confess that I'm a sinner, and I place my faith in Jesus, that He died on that cross for me. And He rose from the grave, showing us that our sins have been fully paid. Thank you for your love, and thank you for your gift of eternal life. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. For those of you who have placed your faith in Jesus today, I want to encourage you to share that with someone. Don't keep it to yourself, but share with one of the leaders here or one of your friends, because it's a moment to celebrate that God has saved you for all eternity. And this eternal life doesn't just start when we die. It begins right now, at this moment. Your eternity with God starts today. So let us rejoice together.
Thank you for joining us on the Tekoa Church podcast. I want to encourage you to take the message you just received and let God do the work only He can do. We hope it helped you wherever you are at in your faith journey. We want to connect with you if you're going through something difficult or looking to be a part of our church community. Fill out the Tekoa card on our Connect page, tekoachurch.org/connect. While there, you can also see the most up-to-date information in the life of our church. A special thank you to those of you who give to Tekoa. Your sacrifice makes this podcast and our Sunday gatherings possible, as well as creates life change throughout the world. You can be a part of this by going to tekoachurch.org/giving. You can also subscribe, rate, and share this podcast. Until next time, blessings.